There's a reason that Mozart called the pipe organ the king of instruments. I'm Colleen Phelps, and this is Keeping Score. There's no getting around it. The pipe organ is big. It's versatile. It can shake the walls or move you to tears while you pray. Famed composer Charles Vidor said that organ playing was a manifestation of a will filled with the vision of eternity. For organist Wilma Jensen, it's been a heck of a way to make a living. The 8 decades of Jensen's career have included European tours and historic instruments, plus continued acclaim such as the Performer of the Year Award from the American Guild of Organists. But it all started with a little girl's fascination with the instrument in the church where her dad was the pastor.
I received $1 a week, which I thought was great. The stop knobs each had a different sound, as did the ones for the pedal. It was just a small two-manual instrument, but I was intrigued by it. I did play the hymns with pedals. I have no idea how I found the pedals because I was self-taught, and I have no idea how I found them, but I think I did find them. My father was a minister, and I wanted to try the organ. And then we moved to a small town in Illinois where they had a pipe organ and no one knew how to play it. So for some time, I was the regular organist. I have no idea what I played before and after the service for a prelude or a postlude. Marcel Dupré, famous French organist, was playing a recital in Springfield, Illinois. So my teacher took me along with some students to hear his program. And I knew that night that was going to be my career.
Playing the pipe organ can best be described as musical multitasking. Depending on the instrument, the player has 2 or more keyboards, one of which is played with the feet. The sound projects from pipes in the walls, and not just the shiny ones that you can see as part of the church's decor. Hundreds, if not thousands, of pipes where wind pushes through depending on which lever is pulled or switch is flipped at the console where the player sits. Basically, it's thousands of whistles at once. Wilma Jensen studied it at one point with Harold Gleason, who had just published his now ubiquitous book, Method of Organ Playing.
Tell me about Harold Gleason. Did it feel like you were learning from a primary source when you studied with him?
I remember the very first meeting when I was a freshman. He kept talking about all these fractions, 2 2/3 and 1 1/3 and 1 3/5, and I had no idea what all that was about because the organ that I had taken my lessons on didn't have those mutation stops, as they're called. But then I went and found the sources of the information about it and learned about those. Those are ranks of pipes which are not playing the unison pitch, but play an upper pitch in the harmonic series. And that gives the sound a new quality, a new timbre.
What makes an instrument a great pipe organ?
Well, a lot of it is the acoustics. You may find more churches in Europe with good acoustics than in America, but there are wonderful places here because you do know about the organs of different periods and different countries. Choosing the repertoire is really critical.
Wilma Jensen's place of importance in classical music is significant not only because of her talent, but also because she was a woman succeeding in a largely male field. In the church, music's patron, St. Cecilia, may be portrayed playing the pipe organ, but during the Renaissance, women were prohibited from active roles in the church service, a directive that lasted centuries. Even today, a glance at leading organist booking agencies shows women in far less than half of the headshots. And never mind just music. I wanted to know about Jensen's experience as a woman entering the workforce in 1952, a decade when less than 1/4 of college degrees were awarded to women.
Did Did you feel like the expected gender roles held you back ever?
No, I really don't. Most of my jobs I held for many, many years. In Oklahoma City, when I went to First Presbyterian Church, I wasn't competing against a man. And then when I went to St. George's, Nashville, I went there as interim. And I think the rector who was there when I first went there as interim would have preferred a man, but I was the only one at that moment available. And I had a chance to prove myself.
What's your primary piece of advice for a woman in music?
The better you are professionally, the more successful you're going to be. You need to treat all people professionally. Have a professional attitude.
Throughout her career, Wilma Jensen has been described as the consummate musician who brings sparkle, electricity, dynamite, and vibrancy to the organ. She's come a long way from the first newspaper mention of her playing, describing her as the youngest organist in Methodism. By the way, that was in 1941. The evidence of her effect on the organ world can best be found in her library of recordings, one of which focuses on what she calls the French tradition. What does that phrase mean to you as an organist? What is the French tradition?
The major organists in France all through history seem to have had a valuable advanced piano technique. So they're bringing good natural motions to the keyboard. So when you play that French literature, it fits into the hands naturally. It may be fast and difficult, but it fits the natural motions. César Franck played so freely, but the students who had studied with him couldn't say exactly where that freedom was. In teaching some of that freedom, I like to start with a melodic line. And there are often, especially in French music, small arches in the line that the melody will go up around the top and then come down. And then later in the piece, the arches get much larger. So you're going to take more stretch over these large arches.
As you say that all this French music is so natural to the hands, do you feel like that goes along with their tradition of improvisation?
They also study improvisation from the time they're children, whereas with most of us American organists, we don't realize how valuable it is until we're in college. And they've lost their fear of, is it going to sound good?
Technique is a favorite subject for Wilma Jensen, so I asked her about her experience building her own agility, and it turns out that she sees it as a process that never really ends.
I got into some technical problems at the organ in my mid-30s, and I knew I needed help to improve. The method books assume that you have a pretty advanced piano background, but most of us don't have enough to justify not practicing the piano anymore. I mean, I practice my scales at the piano faithfully.
Before we take a break, a brief keyboard lesson from Wilma Jensen.
Raise your fingers as high as possible off the key while it's slow, and then eventually, as it gets faster, your motions will become smaller, and it will be technically good, but remote gives us permission to start it with really high fingers so you're really feeling those separate swings to the key. Remote has said some great things that I like.
It's time for a short break. When we continue, Wilma Jensen talks about playing difficult repertoire, plus her plans for more music making at the age of 90.
When you want to listen to classical music but aren't near a radio, 91 Classical is still your source for great performances from Middle Tennessee and around the world. Stream music on our website while you work. Tune in via the Nashville Public Radio app on your smartphone, or tell your smart speaker you'd like to hear 91 Classical.
Welcome back to Keeping Score. Organist Wilma Jensen has never shied away from difficult repertoire, both works written for the organ and transcribed from the orchestra. It was easy to see that after all this time, she has musical preparation down to a scientific procedure.
You played the Malengrove Symphonie de la Passion on your album Mors et Resurrectio. On a piece that difficult, how do you start? Do you start slowly? Do you take it in small chunks?
Pedal alone, left hand alone, right hand alone, right hand and pedal, left hand and pedal, four measures at a time, repeated several times. The next four measures, go through all of that again. And it takes a long time until you can put it together and then start to work on your tempo.
You're known for pairing the organ with other instruments. I think Organ Plus is definitely an album of yours that gets referred to
yes,
a lot.
Yes. I'm not generally in favor of transcriptions, but I think transcribing orchestral accompaniments under instrumental solos can bring those solos to availability for organists.
I think everyone involved in church music in Nashville has their Wilma Jensen story to tell, and mine is that you once told me, "I'm one of the few people in town who can play louder than you do."
All louds are not always good. As an organist, we should know what kind of instrument the composer had and what country and what stylistic period. That makes a difference in what you choose to use. And all the stops do not go together. There is no such thing as a full organ with every stop, because it would be like putting every spice in the cupboard that you have all together. I'm not much of a cook, but I know that much. So you have to be judicious in your choice, but you should know what the organ sounded like in those different periods of history. And that's another advantage of having played in different countries, France, Germany, Sweden, Norway, because many times a new organ may be a copy of an old organ. There are so many copies of Baroque instruments. And the Orgelbewegung, which was a movement like in the 1920s, to return to the small tracker organ with a wholly different sound than just the romantic organ, which got larger and larger and wanted to imitate orchestral stops, like the English horn, the French horn, and so forth.
What's an instrument you would want to collaborate with as an organ plus, but you haven't yet.
Well, I would like to do something with a French horn or a trombone player. I need a piece for it, the right piece for it. I'm always up for something new that I have not ever experienced before.
Daily scales at the piano, continuing to tour and perform recitals, looking ahead at the next piece of repertoire. It may not sound like retirement to you, but that's what it looks like for Wilma Jensen as she approaches her 90th birthday. Is there something magical about retirement in this way where you can enjoy this additional freedom of saying, I'm going to zone in on this right now?
I think I have been having more fun. I'm trying to get past the stress. I mean, all of us want to be absolutely accurate under pressure, and we're not perfect under pressure. Well, I'm still learning. I have lots to learn, and I want to learn some new repertoire. There are some things I want to review. I want to review the ornamented choral prelates of Bach. But then I would like to learn Our Father Who Art in Heaven, Vater Unser. That's Bach's, in Bach's Klavierübung 3. It's one of the most complex ornamented choral prelates. And I want to see if I could get that like the other ones that I have done. But then I'd like to see if I could learn something really difficult.
Keeping Score is a production of Nashville Public Radio's 91 Classical. The show is edited by Anita Bug. Nina Cardona and Carl Peterson both acted as engineer, and editorial assistance was provided by Andrew Reisinger. During this episode, we heard music from Wilma Jensen's albums In the French Tradition, Organ Plus with WJ, and Mors et Resurrectio. You can listen to the entire first season of Keeping Score for free anytime on your favorite podcasting app, and even through your smart speaker. You can also find all of Nashville Public Radio's podcasts at podcasts.nashvillepublicradio.org. I'm Colleen Phelps. Thanks for listening to Keeping Score.